Hi, I'm Dominic Encinas, leader of The Heart. I want to welcome you to The Heart Podcast. Thank you for letting us be a small part in your journey of faith. I hope this message today encourages you and strengthens you. Big things can happen when we expect God to move, so I pray today that God would speak to you through this message.
So if you're not familiar with how we do church here at The Heart, our messages are typically laid out in series. And so we like to take this idea and then dig through that idea in series. And right now we're right in the middle of one called Perspective. And so we've been talking about how our perspective, when it changes, it can change our life and it can change our faith. And then last week, Dom was talking about our spiritual growth and the perspective of how when we're comparing that, it's relevant to where and where when we're comparing it to. And I want to share with you today a lesson learned over the last 8 years that I've been with The Heart. The first time that I ever did a message at The Heart, I started it with this story, and so I thought it was fitting that I would end it with this story as well. And I'm not really like typically the emotional, feely person in the bunch around here, but if I lose it and get emotional, I have Exhibit A, tissues. And then also I've worked out a pack with production that they'll do something that will snap me out of it. So here's the story. 9 years ago, I moved from California with, at the time, my husband and my daughter. She was about three. She's almost 13 now, which is insane. So we were in Seguin, his family's from there, and we decided we were going to go to church. And at the time, we had been right in the middle of starting to go into a franchise for a gym. Used to be really into fitness, not so much anymore. So we go to this church, and there's a speaker. And when I walk in, I was like, this isn't like a normal church speaker to me. I think he had like jeans on and he was funny and I could really understand the message. And so we had gone back a couple of times and he wasn't there. And then another Sunday walked in, he was there and he was sharing a message. And kind of at that point in our journey of business and marriage and life and family and being parents, things were crazy. Maybe I'm the only one, but sometimes it can be that way, right? And so the message is starting to wrap up, and they're asking, you know, does anyone need prayer? And I'm doing the nudge, you know how you do. And I'm like, get up there, go ask for prayer. So we walk up to the front, and it's Dom. And so he prays for us. And then at the very ending of that prayer, he's like, hey, what are y'all doing on Friday? Do you want to come over to dinner? And so we're like, yeah, sure. So all week, I'm stressing, as one does, like, oh, we're going to the pastor's house for dinner. Like, what do you even wear to that? What do you prepare for? So we drive up. I'm still, like, high anxiety all the way in. And we open the door, and there are a bunch of people at this dinner we thought we were going to with the pastor and his wife. Tons of people. Not only are there people, they're all very fit, CrossFit people. Like, there's a guy sitting on the, I remember this very, very distinctly. There's a guy sitting on the couch and he has a bowl of potatoes. I'm not talking like a bowl, like a tiny cereal bowl, a massive bowl of whole potatoes that are baked. He's got a box of spinach and like a salsa jar. If you remember him, his name is Paul Smith. If you don't, it's irrelevant. But there's just like all these people. And I walk in. They got Brené Brown on the TV. If you don't know her, you should Google her. She's awesome. But I'm like, okay, this is not my perception of what church people are. But let's go with it. So it was the first vision meeting of The Heart. That was about 9 years ago. So we walk in. There's this whole meeting. They start talking about how they're going to plant a church. And so we're like, I guess we're planting a church. And they're like dividing people up in the area. They're like, okay, if you want to do music, you're going to go over here. If you want to, you know, be on production and you want to do the sound, go over here. And then there's two people that are just kind of standing around. It was myself and Eric Lytle. He's here. And so they're like, we're like, where do we go? And there was a kids area. So we just go over to the kids. First mistake, but we made it through the first 2 years, right? So we go over to the kids area, and then you guys, not almost at the time, I mean, we've had this church open for 8 years, but this was 9 years ago. That's 9 years ago. And so now I like to tell everyone that Dom tricked me into helping him start a church. So who knows where we're going to go from here. But I share that with you because over the last 9 years, I have learned one of the biggest lessons of my life, and I think I will carry that along with me. And it's this, and it's a little bit controversial of a lesson, and I'm not taking any questions after. Some of you may or may not agree with me, but this is the lesson. I am not always right. Sometimes, most of the time, sure, but I'm not always right. And I'm guessing neither are you. And I want to talk about three things today for the message in this series. I want to talk about the difference between perception and perspective. I want to talk about one of the questions that I've been asking myself that have changed a lot and given me new perspective. And then I want to talk about how that can influence our faith with wisdom. So let's pray before we actually dig in. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the people in this room. I thank you for the people that could not be here today. I thank you for who you are. God, I pray that no matter where our hearts are right now, if it's full of joy or maybe shattered, that we would allow ourselves to cave into you in this moment, that we could take even a piece away from this experience through the worship, the message, the prayer, that you would speak to us. Show us something new, awaken something in us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So when I was little, from a very young age, I've always been obsessed with law. Not necessarily like the criminal justice system, like legalities and policies, but more on the opposite side. Prison life, criminal mind, interrogation. I'm not speaking anything prophetic, but you know, if you see me on the streets, I might be able to handle myself. I used to sneak watch like prison shows all the time. Just always really loved the way that things work and like the ingenuity in it. And so oftentimes that takes me down these rabbit holes of watching various YouTube shows. And one I was most recently watching, it was by a former FBI agent. His name is Andrew Butamain. I'm probably saying it wrong. Don't look it up. Let's just act like I'm right. So anyways, he is a former CIA agent, and he was talking about how it is so important that we understand the difference between perception and perspective. And when he talks about that, he talks about this distinct idea that perception is just sensory information, and perspective is what we make of that sensory information. And I want to go into that a little bit here in just a little bit with a story in the book of Numbers, the Old Testament. But what we have to understand within all of that is neither one are good or bad, both important, and oftentimes what bridges them together is wisdom. And so we're going to talk a lot about wisdom as well in the next, 20 minutes or so. So I want you to hold this scripture close to you. It's James 1-5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And then I wrote this down, wisdom helps us see beyond the moment and understand deeper truths. So let's dig into this idea of perception versus perspective, and I'll give you a little bit of an example that helped me. So think of perception as our internal evaluation, right? It is just information organized and then interpreted. Just a little bit ago, we were listening to music, and if you are a musician, you probably were able to hear the chords and the notes while some of us just heard music. Fun fact, my daughter is a musician. She's almost 13, but she plays two instruments, and one of them is the bass guitar. And I know nothing about music, but lately in the car, I have been like chanting where I'm like, oh yeah, I heard a little bass in that, right? And I'm just like every third song, you know, I'm like, one's gonna land. And she's like, either looks at me or she's like, yeah, you got it. And I'm like, okay, perfect. I had no idea if there was a bass in there or not. But that's the difference, right? A musician can tune into those notes. And then the influence of perception is typically physiological or psychological. So think about it this way. Let's say you are going to watch a movie, a thriller, with one of your friends at their house, or movie theater. Those are still around, right? So you're going to watch a movie, and you're not a big fan of scary movies. Anyone not a fan of scary movies? Wow, okay. So you're going to watch this movie, and you're already like amped up about it, high anxiety. So anytime you see something coming around the corner, you're likely either on edge or you're going to jump, right? You're already in that physiological, psychological state of being nervous. And so that's capturing a sense and then interpreting it. Look at the curtains that are to the sides of me. You're seeing a color. So that is your perception. And we're not all seeing the same color because odds say some of you are colorblind, so you're not seeing purple, I'm assuming. So that's sensory, right? Now, perspective, on the other hand, is how you interpret what you perceive. It's often accompanied by influence of others, your experience, your knowledge, your belief. So if two people go watch a sunset, one person might feel like it's romantic and the other person's just worried about mosquitoes because they grew up in Pensacola, Florida, right, Mom? So that's the difference there. Let's say that you are getting ready to go somewhere and there's going to be snow. Maybe you're going on a trip. Someone from an area with a lot of snow, like Wisconsin or Michigan or Colorado, they might get this feeling of cozy and nostalgia. Or if you're from a hot place, you're already aching at your bones because it's so cold. So that's the difference of your perspective, right? So that scope can go either way. Let me tell you a funny story real quick. So growing up, my grandma was like one of my very best friends. I had, you know, other best friends, but she was just one of my favorite people to hang out with. And this one time, it was around Christmas. I don't even know if I've told you the story, Mom. It was around Christmas, and I don't know, we're watching some Western because that's what she always had me watch. So I'm cultured, but we're watching the show, and it's kind of late at night, and the Christmas lights are on, and she gets a phone call, and I can hear the guy on the other end, and he's trying to sell her a casket, and I'm like hysterical. I think I was maybe 8 or 9. So in my head, all I can hear is that this guy is trying to sell my grandma a casket, so she's not going to be here anymore. That was my perception, and my grandma, being the person that she is, just made some super funny joke, like, call me again, and we're both going to need a casket. And so she had the perspective of this guy who's trying to make a sale, and so she's going to make a joke, right? It was different from what my perception was, from what I heard to her, knowing that this was someone doing their job on the other end, and she was going to make light of it. So I wrote this down for you. Perception shows us the world. Perspective gives it meaning. So when we talk about this, I want to kind of give you this life hack of a question that I've been asking myself. And I think for a few, maybe 2 months or so, we've been asking ourselves as a community. And the question is, do I want it? Is it wise? Not and is it wise, but do I want it? Is it wise? Now, there are times where, for me, I might say, do I want it? And it's not wise, so don't move forward. And there are some times when it's not wise and I still move forward. Like if you put a bucket of Auntie Anne's pretzels in front of me or chips and queso, maybe it's not wise, but I'm going to eat it, right? So it's not a always situation, but it's a question that I've been asking myself to allow some perspective to come in, right? It's a lens that I want to see the world through. It's a tough question that sometimes we're going to ask ourselves because sometimes the answer is going to hurt. It's going to hurt if you are making a decision off of wisdom. And maybe it's not, but there are times that it will hurt when you're making a decision off of wisdom. Now, the thing that I have to remind myself in the moments that it hurts is that even when it hurts and if it hurts for that moment, there's still a lot of good that could have and will continue to come from making that wise decision. We're going to see that here in just a few minutes in the book of Numbers about the Israelites, these 12 spies that went into surveys the promised land. And there are two of the spies who asked themselves that question based off of who God has been in their life. But I just want to really encourage you to hold that question close. And what I've been learning is that wisdom isn't just about knowing, it's about understanding better. And I know that we have it all within inside of us because there's so many scriptures in the Bible that says God will give us wisdom. We just read one earlier, right? So I wrote this down for you. Wisdom isn't just learned, it's often earned, and it is lived. I'm sure you can think about a couple of times in your life that you have had to walk through an experience where you've earned wisdom. Or maybe you have heard from someone that has earned wisdom. When I was really little, my mom worked at a retirement home, and it's one of my favorite parts of my childhood because I learned so much. I learned from her like what work ethic could look like. I learned from one of the residents how to play pool. Don't even try me because I will take you down. That I'm always right in. And so I learned how to coupon from Mrs. Day. She was 102 years old. And so there was all this wisdom, you know, that I got to see around me as a really young child. And so that is just something that's so important as we're trying to gain perspective. I'm sure you can think about someone in your life that you view as wise. What are the attributes of that person? Are those things that you hope to grow into? I'm sure that those are things that when we think about Jesus and we think about who he is, maybe if you've never met him or if you're just meeting him for the first time or you've known him for a long time, there are things that you can't have a perception of him being wise and being able to be that person for us. So I want to share this story with you. It's in the Old Testament. We're going old school today. And let me kind of catch you up to this particular story. There's a lot in this story. And if you are a person that is in leadership, which, spoiler alert, it's all of you, because you can lead in your home, you can lead in a relationship, you can lead at your job, you can lead in friendships. This is a really cool story to go back and read. It's a lot about leadership and the influence of leadership in our lives and what that can look like. So let me set this up. In this story, we're going to be in Numbers 14. So this story starts with an exodus from Egypt. Moses is freeing those that were in slavery and taking them out of Egypt. Maybe you've heard the story of like parting of the Red Sea. This is tens of thousands of people that are being pulled out of Egypt. And so they go through this whole entire journey out of Egypt. They go into the wilderness. There's a lot of things in between that. And then they get to what's called the Promised Land, but they're not in the Promised Land just yet. Now, keep in mind, this is a very long length of time that God had already promised them this land, that they were going to live in this land and prosper in this land. Their families were going to grow in this land. So that promise was there. His presence had been with them through that. There's a story about when they're in the wilderness that every morning that they woke up, well, 6 days out of the seven, that there would be manna or bread, carbs, hallelujah, and for them every day, right? So he had sustained them through this time and been very present, both past and where they were at the moment. And so they get to this promised land and they decide, okay, you know, maybe we need to go check out this land that we're going to go into. And God says, okay, I want you to go out into this land and I want you to look at the land that I've already promised you. What are the people like? Is it are they in tents or do they have fortified walls? What is it bountiful, right? And so what they do is they pick 12 of the leaders from each tribe and they tell them to go out and survey this land. And they do that for 40 days. So they go into this land and there are like, I mean, grapes, the stories, and in the Bible what it says is they had to carry these big grapes on sticks. There's pomegranates, there's figs. They call it the land of milk and honey. So it's very, very bountiful, right? There's also all of these people and Canaanites and all the other kind of ites that you read in the Bible. And then there's this group of people called Enoch, and they are like giants, right? So they come back to give their report. And 10 of the spies, well, they all agree. They all say, there's some good snacks over there. We're going to be able to eat well, right? That is a bountiful land, just like you told us it was going to be. And so they all agree on that, all 12. And then 10 give their report, and they're like, however, they got some security guards. There are some big people over there. I don't think we can overthrow them at all. And then you've got Caleb and Joshua, who are two of the other spies, and they had perspective, right? All of these other people went in with perception, and so what was guiding them was fear, just based off of what they saw and interpreted, perception. The perspective that Caleb and Joshua had dated back to what God had already told them. He already promised them the land. He was present with them when they were in the wilderness. He already told them from the past to the future, I will protect you. This will be your land. They had perspective, and this is what they say in that. In Numbers 14, it says, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Let's go. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid. So they are pleading with these other leaders that, hey, we've got this, right? We've already gone through all of the elements. God's with us. We've got this. And this is the small portion of the story and why I say that you should go back and read more of it. It doesn't end on a super happy note. What happens is these two people are saved. Their families are saved. They go into the promised land. And there's all these other elements that happen with the 10 spies. They die immediately because of a plague, because they were not reliant on what God had promised them and had been with them through, and all these other things. But the main point of this story that I wanted to remind us of today is that by choosing a perspective informed by wisdom and balancing that with what we want and what is wise, that is what will help us navigate life's challenges. And if I could go back to the story of the vision meeting that we were at before, I'm so happy that I'm not always right. Because if I was right, probably would have walked away from this community a while ago. I probably would have gone into a vision meeting and thought, I don't know about church people. I grew up in a church that was, in and out of when the bus would pick me up. That was, I don't know if at the time that was the best reflection of who Jesus is that would have helped my heart see and know him. I might have walked away. And so I'm really happy that I allowed myself to be wrong from what my perception was. And even though this is the last Sunday that I will be sharing with you here, I've learned a different kind of side of Jesus, one who loves me and says I'm enough all the time, in moments of wisdom and in moments of not. I've learned that people are good, and even when life's messy, they will love you. And even when life's hard, they can be there. And I hope that many of you have walked into these doors. And if it's your first time, sorry, come back next week. Dom doesn't cry as much as me. So I hope that if you walked into these doors a month ago or 8 years ago, that you've found a place where you can just be yourself. And that you can know that that's enough. And that if you let Jesus guide your life with wisdom, man, he'll do crazy things. He really will. So funny, the first time I was asked to do a message a couple of years ago, I just thought that was so crazy and stupid of a pastor to ask me to do. But it's not even about doing a message. I've, through this process of studying and feeling the responsibility of what God has to share with me and through me, it's been very life-changing. And I hope that there's some experience in your life, if it's here or if it's not, that you got a glimpse that can happen for you as well. I'm just really, really grateful for that. Really grateful for this community. It's been amazing to hear your stories. And, you know, obviously on a Sunday, we get to share a lot of, you know, what we're doing. And over these next couple weeks, you'll hear a lot about lessons learned. But if you walked in here and thought, man, I don't know about church, I don't know about God, I don't know about these church people, I hope that you walk away and you realize that maybe you're wrong. So I think that's all I can get through right now. So why don't we just go ahead and pray for a minute or two. God, I thank you for the moments where you prove us wrong. I pray that you would lace perspective with wisdom. I pray that when we make a choice out of wisdom and it turns out well, that you would help us to rejoice and celebrate and be thankful for those moments. I pray that when we make a choice in wisdom and it ends up hurting, that you would comfort us, remind us that it's all for your good, it's all for our good. I pray that you would give us a newfound vision for who you are, what you can do in our lives, what you can do in the lives of those around us. I thank you so much for this community. I thank you so much for the people here. I thank you so much for this church. I thank you so much what you'll continue to do through the lessons learned right here over the last 8 years. And I pray that we would be able to carry even just the smallest piece of that with us forever and ever. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Heart Podcast. At The Heart, we like to say you don't have to go to church here to go to church here. That means you are already part of the community just by listening to the message today. If today's message connected with you, we want to invite you to share it with someone who may benefit from it. We would love to be a part of your journey of faith. Please visit us online at www.theheart.church/next to see what your next step may be. And if you live near San Marcos, Texas, we would like to invite you to visit us in person this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Remember to be bold this week and connect with those around you. It's how your relationships grow and how your faith grows.